Well, this morning I'd like to share on the subject of restoration, and I don't think I'm going to be able to adequately describe what God's Word says concerning it, so I just think I would just ask God to show it to you as best as possible and ask Him to work in you to have a greater understanding of this subject. But there, in light of restoration, there's a great truth that we all are aware of, and that's in 3 John 2. The verse 3 John 2. Probably most of you can quote it forwards and backwards. It's one of the first truths I learned in God's Word, and it's no less important today than the first time I heard it. And it's an incredible truth that should always reign in the center of our hearts and minds. And that verse says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." God wants His people to be healthy, to be happy, and prosperous in every category of life. It doesn't say happy in that verse, but in Ephesians, it talks about us being blessed with all spiritual blessings, and often the word blessed, same word as happy. You know, God says God's a blessed God. He's a happy God. He wants us to be blessed. So I threw that in there. But He wants us to definitely be healthy from this verse and prosperous. And the word prosper here is a little different than perhaps what our culture would think of as prosper. If a person said, "Hey, that's a prosperous person," often our brains, or in our culture, it pretty much just goes to finances. Well, the guy must be rich. He could have zero money and in God's sight be prosperous. It's our culture pretty much defines prosperous in the category of finances, but it's well beyond that. It does cover that, but the word prosper basically means to be led in a good way or on a good path, to have a prosperous journey, to be well guided, to be successful. So whatever it is, that path that you're going down, if it's God's path that He's leading you down, that it's a good path. It talks about it in Romans chapter 1, I think verse 10. Paul was praying that he had a prosperous journey to see those believers. It wasn't that there was money down this road that he was walking down, but that the things would go well for him to go see the Roman believers. And that's God's heart. He wants our paths to be good paths. He doesn't want us to be pricked with disease, pricked with oppression, pricked with depression, and all kinds of junk that the world throws at us. He wants us to be in good health, and He wants us to have a prosperous way, that our way is a good way, whatever category of life that may be. In restoration, now some of you guys are car guys, we got three of them, four, and an ex-car guy, four restoration people. To restore basically means to bring back to a condition of its previous state, whatever that condition is. John paints houses. I'm sure he's done a lot of repaints where he scraped stuff off, painted over it, made it look like brand new type of thing. You know, it's a restoration. It's bringing back. So restoration means if you need to be restored, that means you're already beat up. You're already screwed up. There's problems galore. And then when our heads hit this verse, we realize, okay, God doesn't want me in this beat up state, this oppressed state, this sick state, whatever the thing may be. He wants me to have a prosperous life, that my way is good, that I'm healthy. So how do you get from, like when we first heard God's Word, or before we got from God's Word, maybe we had life together in a couple categories. Maybe. That's just a big maybe. Maybe some areas of our life was so screwed up, even a blind person could see it. And maybe there are some other categories in our life that we were doing all right. But to have all paths that you're going down, all ways to be good, I don't think anybody here had that, where everything in their life was was just right. So before we got in God's Word, we obviously needed it. And then when we live in God's Word, there are times we get banged up and we still need it. Like if it's raining really hard, we might want an umbrella or a raincoat or some type of protection. That's our work to stay dry. We didn't ask for the rain. The rain, you know, it's not like we called up and said, hey, I want it to rain all day on me so that I'm forced to use rain gear. But it happens. So we do what we have to do to stay dry. We live in an evil world, and sometimes the evil cleaves to us and bangs us up. And now we need restoration. So there's no shame in that. I mean, you know, you get banged up, you get banged up. It's what happens. The only guy that got out of here without getting banged up was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died a death that nobody would want to go through. I mean, he got banged up, but in a good way. I mean, in the sense that that was what he had to do. But he suffered consequences and tribulation. I mean, he had the devil on his heels all the time, constantly. So we're going to look at a couple things. We're going to go next to Psalm 23. And it's just such a great truth to understand that God wants us healthy. He wants us to be prosperous, or that we're led in a good way in every category of life. In our marriage, in our raising of children, as being raised as a child, in our jobs, in our sleep, in our getting up. You know, he wants us to sleep well. So, it's just a great truth. And there are a lot of Christians that don't know this, that don't know that God wants us to be healthy, that don't know that God wants us to be prosperous or to be joyful. They think it, when evil hits, it's sent from the Lord to test them and trial them, make sure they're still humble. It's funny, but I mean, people think that way. Here's a psalm you've read, I'm sure, many, many times. It's a great psalm, Psalm 23, about the Lord being the shepherd of Israel, shepherd of David, and a shepherd is one who takes care of sheep. And a shepherd does a lot of things. It feeds those sheep, it protects those sheep, it binds the wounds of those sheep, it keeps them from being fearful, it guides the sheep into a good path. It does a lot, a shepherd does a lot of stuff for those sheep. And they're tough individuals. A shepherd is a tough cookie because he's living out in the elements 24 hours a day. He sleeps outside with the sheep. Cold or dry or hot, whatever. He's there taking care of those sheep. Tough cookie, you know, to be able to withstand the elements day after day and look at those sheep, be by yourself. You know, it's just a tough job. But a very tender, he's very tender with those sheep. And look at I'll read verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the word want means lack. It's the same word for lack. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. He so takes good care of me, I have no lack. That's pretty good. That means that guy's restored pretty well. I have no lack. Can you imagine living life with no lack? None. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And one of the things that God did as a shepherd for Israel, for David, is he restored his soul. And at times, our souls need to be restored. It's just part of life. We got a devil that is in control of the world, and we get banged up. So he wants us restored. Just terrific. Let's go to Psalm 25. We're going to look at a few psalms. He restores our soul. He puts us back together. Just like a mom or dad with a little kid. You know, a little kid gets bruised up or banged up or something, or comes home from school all upset because somebody said something mean to him. and the mom or the dad puts that kid back together, comforts the kid, fixes the kid, gets that kid restored back to where he goes and makes a mess all the time again. You know, he's back to being happy and making messes. So, but that's a restoration that heart, that mom is doing or that dad is doing for that kid. So, that's my phone ringer. Psalm 25, verse 1. This is a great way to get that restoration. Verse 1. Unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. That's one way of getting restoration, to bring our souls to God Almighty. Verse 5. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. I'm reading the wrong verse, but that's a great one. Verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Part of restoration is that we go to God for that restoration. We bring our souls and our heart to God Almighty. And that's part of the process. Part of the process is staying dry. If it's raining, if you, it's either wear rain gear or have an umbrella or your coat or something to protect. You're doing something to prevent that rain from getting on you. Well, restoration comes when we bring our lives to God Almighty. Verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. He's going to God with, you know, he knows there's a problem. He's got a few, but he's going to God to get that healing, to get that need met. Verse 20. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in myself. My great abilities. In my bank account. In my doctor. Now I put my trust in thee. This is how we get that restoration. Let's go to Psalm 24. We don't have to travel very far in Psalm to constantly see where God's people go to him for help. I mean, David was a king of Israel. He was a prophet. He was a man whom God was delighted. Susan's doing a little study on the sure mercies of David, and she's going to share on mercy sometime soon. And part of the sure mercies of David is God promised to David that the Christ would come through his loins. He would be in the genealogy of the Christ line. What a thrill that would be. And he told them before it happened, obviously. He knew that Christ was going to be born generations later through his lineage. What a thrill that'd be. Still, as great as that is, the guy had problems. He got banged around a little bit by the devil, by people. Sometimes Israel's his own son, sometimes. One guy wanted to kill him. His own son. So he had a few things to deal with. And he kept going to God. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof the world. Fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So God's the owner of this whole place. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So the person that didn't take his soul and throw it to vanity, to the things of the world and their solutions. He didn't take his soul and say, oh, I'm going to follow that, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Instead, it's someone that brought their soul unto the Lord God. The direction of where we put our trust in our soul, our soul lives, is makes a difference in restoration. If you wanted to have your house painted, to have it restored, would you go to an elevator manufacturer? It has its ups and downs in that business, but let me tell you, it's not the right choice. We would, if you want restoration, you go to the where you can get restoration. That's the Lord God. The world will say, hey, I can fix you up. I can fix you up. I can do this. I can do that. But it's really the Lord that does it. Remember that woman in Luke, the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years? She went, spent all her money on doctors and got worse instead of better. She had dumped everything she had into what she knew that was available in that day and time. Then she heard of Jesus Christ, and she said, I'm going to see that guy. And she just latched onto the hem of his garment and got healed. Something. It's all in the direction you want to go. Psalm 30, verse 2. Well, we'll do verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise up to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Again, look at the direction that that person went. Psalm 121. It's just such a blessing to know 3 John and know it's available. Every category of life. The first verse is actually 2 questions. And even in the sender margin, it gives those 2 questions. If you had any questions about that. Had a question or 2 about that. It's in the center margin. But the King James has, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence come my help. Now, it doesn't make sense, because the hills is referring to, in their day and time, they had a lot of groves where they had what we would call statues. They made things out of wood and stone, and they would worship them. Like if you ever went into a Roman Catholic church, you might have noticed some of those, all those different saints that they have, and Mother Mary, and they got it in plastic and in marble and in wood, and all different, depends on the size and financial status of the church, but it's a something or another. And people bow down in front of it, they pray to Mary, and Israel did this for quite a while. They put other gods up, and they had them up in the hills, and they would worship in towards those figures. So it's not that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, because they say, oh, I'm going to go to a idol and worship that. It's not that. It's a question. And the question is, shall I lift up mine eyes to the hills, to these man-made places of worship where there are no real answers? Whence cometh my help? Question. Or where does my help come from? You know, shall I look to the hills for answers? Where's my help come from? And the answer to those 2 questions is, verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He's not going to fall asleep, and he's not going to be sleeping. As the shepherd, he's always awake. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's pretty good. So where's our help come from? Not the hills. It comes from the Lord. And we're going back to 3 John because this is the promise to us. And when that promise isn't coming to pass in our lives, for whatever reason, the way to get it is to do what we saw in Psalms, where we bring our soul, we lift our soul to God Almighty. We go to His Word, we know what His Word says, and we believe it. It could be by a prayer, it could be by ministering healing, another believer ministering healing to us. It could be by way of the counsel of His Word concerning something we need. Whatever it is. Like if I had a problem with my foot and it didn't work well and I wasn't getting healed, let's say I wanted to go to a doctor, I would go to a foot doctor, right? I at least have enough common sense to know where to go. If I broke my car, I'd go to a mechanic. I mean, there are areas in our life that we know what the problem is, and we probably know where to go to get help. And it can be the scriptures, it could be a believer that can give us the scriptures, it could be in prayer, it could be a lot of things. But the key is that we want that restoration. We want it so badly, because it feels good. It feels good to be feeling good. Right? It just does. It's a nice thing. And this promise in 3 John 2, it just covers so many things. It's that feel good, you know, they have comfort food. This is a comfort scripture. It just feels good to know it and to endeavor to live it and get what we need by way of the truth of God's word. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So, a great God we have, and what a great truth that we can rejoice in. That we can, whatever the path it is that we're endeavoring to go in, as long as it's biblical, that He is going to help us in that, whatever that we're looking for, according to the truth of God's Word. So,